What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome into 104.5 The Zone on this Tuesday. Hope you're feeling right and living well. We certainly are, because we're live out here at Toy Field, Nissan Stadium. It's presented by T-Mobile, and I need to see each and every one of you out here today. We're going to be on site until 6 p.m. If you don't know where to find us, we're on the East Concourse side, interstate side of the stadium. Bring toys, bring gifts. Gate 1 is, of course, where you can find us. Thank you, Kirby Allen Kirby, for being my producer on site, making everything happen. But, yeah, we're doing things for a great cause out here today. We're going to be out here until 6 o'clock, and we need your help. Absolutely, we need your help, because we need toys for children. We need gifts for seniors. We need supplies, basically, to make sure that everybody has as good a holiday season as humanly possible for those who do not have the resources necessarily to do it for themselves. It's one of the most important things that we do as a station. All of the stations in the Cumulus cluster are out here, and we're happy to be a part of it as well. This is my first time doing it, and so Lucas has been trying to get me in the holiday season. There's no better way to do it than to spend my day out here with Kirby Allen Kirby at Toy Field. Makes me very happy to be a part of this for the first time. Many thanks to our partners who make this possible, by the way. T-Mobile, who presents this, of course. Planet Fitness, Freedom Boat Club, State Water Heaters, A.O. Smith, Two Rivers Ford, Equipment Finders Incorporated, Bojangles, and Uncle Bud's. Thank you very much to everybody who's making this special day possible for us. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation, if you are so inclined. 615-737-1045. We're going to obviously talk about the Julio Jones news, not necessarily, you know, his availability quite yet, but good progress made yesterday with the transactions that came out, something that we spent some time on before Mike Vrabel met with the media. Our buddy Josh Pate from 247 Sports, from CBS Sports HQ, he's going to join us coming up next as well to get into some stuff about the college football playoff and how dead wrong he was about a number of things in college football, because not only did he pick Georgia to win the SEC championship game, but he said there was no way in hell that Mario Cristobal was going to be the next head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, and I just saw Mario Cristobal announced with a very, very small baby Canes jersey. They need to get him a more appropriately sized one. Lucas Panzeca is back in the studio. He's making everything happen. He looks very comfortable, very warm. I'm very happy for you, bud.
I'm toasty, but I would very much like to be out there. I'll try to swing by after.
Okay. Everybody should, because we're building the field of toys, and it is essential that we have everybody's participation for this good cause. But we got to start with Monday Night Football, right? Because the Bills had the opportunity to do the Titans a solid. They did not. They could not find a way to beat a New England Patriots team that threw the football only three times. It's a ridiculous game to watch, but you saw the weather conditions before kickoff. You saw how much the wind was affecting how that game would be played, and it, frankly, fell right into Bill Belichick's hands. Now, Josh Allen, I thought, put on one of the better performances given the circumstances, and he can't help that Stephon Diggs dropped what would have been the game-winning touchdown, went right through his hands, right off his hands, frankly. But the Titans, unfortunately, if you're a Titans fan, remain as the two seed with New England heading into their Week 14 bye as the number one in the AFC. 615-737-1045. The question that we have for you is, who is the biggest threat to these Titans? Because you've done everything that you can do. You're relying on the medical or the injury report to get just a little bit shorter because of the time off. The most important thing, of course, to accomplish. And then, can you get some of your playmakers back? Julio Jones, can he be active for upcoming games? Maybe you feel you don't necessarily need him against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I would remind you that you lost to the 1-8 at the time Houston Texans. So you're not necessarily in a position to be sleeping on anybody at this point. And I saw tweets last night based on the result and based on how that game was played, and really what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick's game plan was to mitigate the impact of the weather. Mac Jones didn't look great, right? They weren't asking him to do a lot. It was going to be incredibly difficult for him to throw the ball. Josh Allen has an absolute rocket launcher for an arm, and so he found ways to get the football downfield with more ease, but then, you know, he had moments where his receivers would fail him in the downfield passing game for one reason or another, was not a sustainable solution. But I saw people on social media last night, a lot of Titans fans, and V-Love in particular, I think, is one that I saw, saying, you know, I don't fear this Patriots team come playoff time. And my response is, what, V, and anybody who thinks that way, are you insane? Are you kidding me with that? How could you look at the Bill Belichick team that just, I mean, frankly, kicked your ass in New England? You had a game plan to beat them. You would have been successful had you not turned the ball over four times, and more importantly, with two critical fumbles. But how could anybody at this juncture say that they don't fear a Bill Belichick-coached Patriots team come the postseason? That, to me, is one of the most asinine things that I've ever heard. There is no team that is unbeatable. There is no team that is above the rest in either conference. Now, I think the AFC is much more interesting at this point than the NFC. And the parity is such that you can lose to anybody. I would not be surprised if Sunday's game here at Nissan Stadium, where we're broadcasting live, by the way, for Toy Field, I would not be surprised if Sunday's game is much closer than Titans fans would like it to be, even though you are clearly and obviously superior to this team. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to jump in. Let's go to Dave in Portland, who wants to weigh in on Monday Night Football and the result with the Patriots over the Bills last night. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great, buddy.
I think the Bills are a better team than the Patriots. I mean, obviously the Bills, they made some mistakes. Second and nine, and you throw the ball to the end zone.
Yeah.
And now it's third and nine, and then you get a penalty, and now it's third and 14, and you don't get anything. You give up the 3 points. You had plenty of time on the clock. If they just manage that better, I think the Bills win the game. I think they're a better team than the Patriots, man. They just need to clean up the mistakes. I would definitely fear the Bills more than the Patriots going into the postseason. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I appreciate the opinion, Dave, and I'm inclined to disagree with you, because by that logic, the Titans could have beaten the Patriots, right? And they didn't. I understand what you're saying, and those are critical mistakes that cost you the game. And they were executed by the team that made those critical mistakes. Like, I understand doing the analysis in retrospect and saying, yes, if they did find a way to gain positive yardage as opposed to just going for the kill shot in the end zone on second and nine, maybe the result would be different. If the Bills were not, I mean, absolutely manhandled at the line of scrimmage by the New England Patriots, yeah, maybe the result would be different. But again, by that same logic, the Titans could have beaten the Patriots. There was a clear and obvious path for them to do so, and they botched it, just as the Bills botched it yesterday. So I understand what you're saying. I would agree with the notion that the Bills are a more talented football team, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. But what it comes down to is execution, and nobody is waiting to execute more people by way of execution than Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. If they can do it with a quarterback throwing the ball three times in a game, in a divisional game, on the road, where they are 6-0, by the way, they have not lost a road game. Them and the Arizona Cardinals this year, undefeated records in road games. By that logic, I fear the Patriots more, because the Patriots are smarter. The Patriots have been smarter. They don't necessarily out-talent you, but they out-execute you. There's a whole NFL Network documentary special about Bill Belichick, right? Do your job. That's what they did yesterday, and they beat the Bills as a result. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. A reminder, Josh Pate, our buddy from CBS Sports HQ, he's going to be here coming up next, and we'll talk to him about all the things he got wrong in the world of college football this weekend. We are at Toy Field. We are at Gate 1, East Side Concourse, Interstate Side. This is where you need to come to drop off your toys, your gifts for senior citizens to benefit the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. Help us rescue Christmas and create miracle moments for families in our community. We got to support each other. This is a great way to do it. You can come out to Nissan Stadium. You can do it at Toy Field, where we will be live until 6 p.m. today. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to Toy Field, live from Nissan Stadium on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. We're out here gathering gifts, presents for children and seniors, courtesy of our friends, or for our friends, rather, at the Salvation Army. If you're not coming out today, we're going to have words. This is a threat. You better do it. Do it now. It's for a good cause. You'll feel better about yourself afterwards. 615-737-1045 is the number. It's how you get involved in today's conversation. But in the meantime, we're going to have a conversation with our buddy Josh Pate of CBS Sports HQ of Late Kick, the Late Kick Show with Josh Pate, where you can see it streaming. You can get the Late Kick podcast. You can get all of the great things that Josh Pate is doing around the world of college football. Josh, I appreciate you joining us because I know that this is a very busy time of year for you, but also it seems like you're on a bit of an apology tour across the world of college football for things like Mario Cristobal and picking Georgia. How is this going for you? Are you surviving?
Yeah, I mean, I am drawing breath. It's a tough time. It's not something I'm enjoying. This is not the most wonderful time of the year, as it were, for me. But I, listen, I had a little confluence of some very unfortunate statements, and they both happened within like a 24 to 48 hour period. I have never picked against Alabama when they played Georgia. Like other people, I got tricked into doing it this time, and then I had to stand there right on the field and watch that unfold. And then also, I was a believer that Mario Cristobal was staying home. I did not believe Miami could put together a lucrative enough package. And when I say lucrative, I don't just mean how much money are they going to pay him. I mean everything that Oregon has had that Miami has not had, and they convinced him. I know home, you know, coming home, it was a big allure. I didn't think it was going to be big enough. And unfortunately, I was very emphatic in that opinion. And so when both of those things happened, I don't really have much to say. I don't really know what to say. Just, I was wrong, and I'm going to shut up and never say anything on my show again.
Well, no, you can't do that because then you would be depriving the rest of us of all of your great insights, because for every one thing you may get wrong, Josh, there's about 100 million things that you're getting right in the world of college football. So we're going to – I think that the people should absolve you of, you know, a couple of misguided and I don't necessarily think misguided, because I was out of the country last week, all right? And I was told that Nick Saban was getting points, and I was told by my producer Lucas that everybody was betting against Nick Saban in a way that was inexplicable to me. I didn't understand how everybody lost their minds in the week that I was out of the country on the Titans bye, but explain this to me from your perspective, because it sounds like you weren't anywhere close to alone.
Okay, so what you're saying is even the international community had a better feel on this game than I did. That's what I just got from that. And, yes, that's accurate. Here's what I saw, and it turned out, I don't know, it turned out not to come to fruition. So this is Georgia's year, and I'm still going to state it in the present tense. And by this is, I mean this is the year they got to get it done. They know that. They've got a very veteran-laden, senior-laden team. Alabama's got one of the youngest teams, if not the youngest team Saban's ever had. They went into the game totally one-dimensional, so much so that Kirby said, we didn't even really work on stopping the run. Like, we didn't even prepare for it. We were that confident they wouldn't be able to run it. Problem was Georgia ran it even less effectively than Alabama did.
Yeah.
You have a situation where the Alabama right side of their offensive line has been vulnerable all year. The back end of their secondary has been vulnerable all year. They had to knife fight against Arkansas and Auburn to even get to the game. And so it just felt like so many things were in position. You knew Georgia was going to be prepared. You knew they were going to get their best shot. They've been dominant all year. And in the end, we got the exact same final score we got last year, 41-24. The only thing that changed was the venue. And that, my friend, is what happened.
Josh Pate is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about the championship weekend that was in college football and the college football playoff that will result. So you've seen, obviously, Alabama reclaims their spot, regains their throne at the top of the college football world, as we all assumed would be the case. And Kirby Smart is looking at this and looking at Jim Harbaugh in Michigan and looking at a team that does nothing but run the ball, it would seem, with great efficiency and in the true Big Ten form and fashion. What chance do you give Michigan of legitimately competing in this game before we talk about Alabama and Cincinnati, which projects as a more lopsided result?
Oh, Michigan's got an excellent shot. Yeah, I'm not falling into this trap twice. I mean, I'm looking at a I'm
See
looking
what I tried to do to you there?
Get pressure with four. I mean, I'm looking at a couple of very, very talented edge rushers that can also get pressure, and they do a very, very good job of limiting the run. So you're not going to carve them up by any stretch. You're not going to overpower them physically. Ohio State didn't do it. Georgia will not do it. And so you're going to have to out-execute them. And I'm sitting here watching Georgia last week, and now we're going to watch them going into bowl prep. And the big question around that program is going to be, well, are we about to see a change at quarterback? I think it's going to be very surprising, let me put it that way, if you see a fundamental shift in offensive philosophy to JT Daniels. And here's my thinking on that. Some people would say, well, Kirby, yeah, they got to Atlanta, but they stuck with Bennett. But now that they see it didn't work with him, now they'll want to get JT Daniels ready. JT Daniels was already ready to play. He's already cleared. And Georgia had a very soft back few weeks of their schedule. They played an FCS team, they played Georgia Tech, and then they went to Atlanta. If they were in a position where they thought JT Daniels was going to give their team the best shot to win, they had plenty of time to get him ready. They didn't. So whatever they're seeing in practice has led them to believe Stetson Bennett's the guy. I think Stetson Bennett will still be the guy going into this Michigan game. But that means you don't have the typical dynamic presence at quarterback that a lot of these playoff teams have had. And by these playoff teams, I mean the ones you overwhelmingly expect to win. So Georgia's favored, probably should be. Michigan's got a great shot. And think about this. That same dynamic that we just talked about with Bama, it exists here, only it's going to be 3 weeks long. Harbaugh's going to get told for 3 weeks he's a touchdown-plus underdog, and that team, I've already seen them in person as an underdog. It was an Ohio State game just a few weeks ago, and they kind of painted the walls with Ohio State's blood, if we're really being honest about it. So, yeah, I think Michigan does have a very strong shot.
At Late Kick Josh is where you can follow our guest, Josh Payton. Of course, Late Kick Live, you can check out Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, streaming on YouTube. And you can check out the podcast as well, wherever it is that you get your podcast. So on the subject of Michigan, you saw the Heisman Trophy finalists named last night, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, and Aiden Hutchinson of the aforementioned Michigan Wolverines, the defensive end. He's an incredible watch on tape. We had our buddy Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus on yesterday, who was at the game, said it's an even different experience with him in person. I don't imagine that he will garner much traction for the Heisman Trophy, but just how special is this player?
Hutchinson's very special. He absolutely deserves all the accolades he's getting. He is the kind of guy who is good enough to where you have to alter your offensive game plan or at the very least plan it around him. I was watching that announcement live last night. I will not have 1 ounce of beef with Aiden Hutchinson. I've got a ton of beef with Will Anderson of Alabama not being involved in this.
Okay.
You want to go stat comparison. Anderson virtually across the board is better than Hutchinson. I always pause when I say that because it's not meant to diminish Hutchinson. Both of them should be there. There may be a guy in C.J. Stroud, for example, that probably shouldn't be there over Anderson. Anderson, Buck, he may be the best defensive player Nick Saban's had out of his entire time there. He is a transcendent talent defensively, and he's also a guy that, even though he's a true sophomore, has stepped up there and kind of took an alpha lead in that locker room earlier this year when they didn't really have their way. They were kind of a ship without a rudder, so to speak. Now people messed around and let him get in the playoff, and now who knows what will happen. I was, if I want to use the best word, I would probably just say I was disgusted. Let's just say I was disgusted that Will Anderson was not involved in this.
You're so spot on. For anybody who's watched him, and I'm certain the vast majority of the listening audience in this part of the country has seen Will Anderson perform in Alabama, but I was surprised by that. The Kenneth Walker, I mean, if you want to call it a snub situation, the running back from Michigan State, I think that you could probably nitpick that if you wanted to as well. But to see Aiden Hutchinson in the conversation and Will Anderson out was surprising, I think, to a lot of people, even as, you know, you're grading on a curve for a defensive player and what's probably going to go to a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think the ending of this is a mystery. Look, here was the worst-case scenario. So we got a podcast I release on Tuesday mornings, and I was about to record it last night, and the Heisman dropped about 10 minutes before I was going to record. So I was sauced when I hit the record button. And here's the road I went down. I've lacked respect for this process for a while, not the trophy. I love the concept of the Heisman Trophy. But the voting process, to me, is a joke. And when you walk through these press boxes sometimes and you see some of these folks who vote on this, there's a reason I want to be on the field on Saturday and not in the press box, because I don't have respect for their passion. Some of these folks don't have passion for college football. You think they watch it like you and I do. They don't. A lot of fans watch it and are more passionate than some of the folks that vote on this award. That's the problem I have fundamentally.
Well, and that's, I'm glad you bring that up, because we kind of go through this situation with the team that I cover, the Titans, and Derrick Henry with NFL MVP, right? The passion for the performer as opposed to the position that he plays and the art that is happening. I mean, if you want to call it art, I think it is a form of art, frankly, what these guys do on a regular basis. But there's just a lack of awareness and fundamental excitement, passion, as you mentioned, for what is singular performances and what makes, in the world of college football, that sport so unique. And what, and frankly, how much more watered down the voting is in the Heisman when there's, I feel like there are so many people in my life who, you know, I love, but I don't necessarily know how much I respect their college football acumen, that have a Heisman vote, and I don't understand why they're so lenient with who they give these things out to.
It's really weird. I had two people last night who have Heisman votes who heard what I was saying about it. They texted me and said, yeah, you're right. I have no clue why I have a vote. I mean, right. I'm glad I have one, but I really probably shouldn't have one. Here's what I said. In the future world, if/when I ever get my hands on that college football commissionership, I think we should have a yearly literacy test administered by me, of course. But it is a test that is meant to gauge your acumen. Like, can you tell me which teams are in the Big Ten West? If you can't tell me the head coach at Wake Forest any given time, I don't want you voting on an award for most outstanding college football player. You clearly don't watch this stuff enough.
Listen, I'm fully prepared to get behind the campaign of Josh Pate as college football commissioner. Nick Saban be damned. I think it should be you, and you should administer this litmus test. I think we've discovered the solution to all ills with college football.
At the very least, Saban's going on the task force, though. I have a lot of use for Coach Saban. He has a place in my cabinet.
You can check Josh out on 247 Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. So Cincinnati and Alabama, speaking of Nick Saban, the Final Four, I guess, did you have any quarrels with the committee leapfrogging Michigan with Alabama, and do you buy that Gary Barta is genuine in saying we did not consider the fact that we may have a rematch of the SEC championship game in a semifinal? That is why we did not give any consideration to that. That has no place in our voting, basically, for the Final Four. Do you buy any of that?
I buy it, but here's why I buy it. I buy it because if they did nothing more than stick to their criteria this particular year, it was going to deem the rest of it irrelevant. Because sticking to their criteria very clearly meant they should have the top four in the order that it was in. And so if they looked at it and they said, okay, well, our actual criteria says it should be Bama and then Michigan and then Georgia and then Cincinnati, and it's so clear, they can theoretically say, hey, we can go in front of the world and tell them we never even thought about rematches, period. Well, they didn't have to, because it was never going to be a threat, because their actual criteria took care of it for them. I guess that's the methodology you always want to be in place. So yet again this year, I didn't have a problem with the committee's decision, didn't have a problem with the order. But as for Cincy and Bama, and you asked about that one, that spread's big. It's like two touchdowns. There are a couple of matchups to just keep an eye on. I know we're a few weeks away from the game, but Jameson Williams ran all over Georgia's secondary last week.
Yeah.
Ahmad Gardner is a name that you want to know. I know most people haven't watched a lot of Cincinnati football. He's a guy who is a better matchup on Jameson Williams than anybody in Georgia's secondary. Everyone's going to get caught up on the Georgia defense was the best of all time. No, it's about matchups. You couldn't match up with number one in Crimson. Cincinnati, they may not be able to either. They have a much better chance individually. And the other part of this is Cincinnati's got a better quarterback than Georgia does. Desmond Ridder's a better quarterback than Stetson Bennett. So if you need to make plays on third and four, you know, if you need to extend a drive, they may be more apt to do it than Georgia could. So they're not a better team than Georgia, but you see all the time where matchups determine these fights a lot more than just a point spread or an entire roster does.
We had Mike Felder on yesterday, Josh, and we were talking about the fact that I was shocked by the fact that Kirby Smart did so little to adjust to what Nick Saban and Bill O'Brien were doing to them offensively, the way that they were wearing out Jordan Davis and making him almost a non-factor, trying to push Kirby into making a decision that he hasn't had to make as far as personnel all year long. And I shouldn't say that it seems so simple, because if it was simple, everybody else would be doing it to them. But were you as shocked with the inability to process matchups by the Georgia coaching staff as I was watching that SEC championship game?
No. My takeaway going into the game, I think I've told you about that little freeze point metaphor I have, and the best teams can meet that freeze point against the other best teams. Well, Georgia faced an offense that meets the freeze point.
Yeah.
What people underestimated about Georgia's defense is they don't have Will Anderson. They don't have those Aiden Hutchinson single-game record-type pass rushers. They have to scheme pressure, and they normally do it from the linebacker position. Well, the problem is Alabama's offensive line played out of their mind, and if you don't get home, you have got massive voids in the middle of your defense that Alabama routinely exploited through the air. And I don't really know what their adjustment was going to be to that, because Jordan Davis has got to be a focal point of Georgia's game plan. At the same time, though, you can't have him on the play for 12, 13 plays at a time. I just, when I looked at it, I saw what you saw. I don't think they had a curveball. I don't think they had a changeup in their back pocket. I think that was their fastball, and they had to ride it for better or for worse.
It makes a lot of sense. This is why you should check out Late Kick Live tonight, and as well as Sundays and Thursdays with our buddy Josh Pate. On YouTube is where you can find it streaming. There will be a podcast put out today, correct, Josh?
Yeah, every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I just do a Q&A. It's podcast only. You also get every show replay in the podcast feed, so there's pretty much something there every day. But, yeah, there's one in there today that you can only get via podcast.
The man is full of content that you should be checking out if you care about the sport of college football, as I know all of you do. Josh, a pleasure as always. Thanks for stopping by, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys. I'll see you in person eventually. Don't worry, I'm coming.
Listen, I hear Lucas has been harassing you to come join us in studio, but I told him, listen, if he's got something going on, we can wait a little bit. This man is hugely busy at this point. So I'll back him off a little bit.
Yeah, pin it on me. Pin it on me.
100% I'm pinning it on you. Listen, that's why you're here, so I have things to pin on you. Josh Pate, as always, a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll come back. All right, Lucas, now you have to tell me what we're doing next, because I don't know what's going on. What are we doing next, you know?
We're doing winners and losers.
Let's do winners and losers of the football weekend, shall we? That's up next, live from Toy Field. Bring your toys to the East Concourse, Gate 1 at Nissan Stadium. Interstate side, you'll see the Zone van. You'll see our sister station, 99.7 WTN. You'll see 103.3 Country. You'll see 92Q. We're all out here. We're all trying to gather as many toys and gifts for seniors as humanly possible to help us rescue the holiday season and create miracle moments for families in our community for the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone. Lucas trying to get you in a holiday spirit back at the Zone Studios. We're doing the same out here at Nissan Stadium. I don't know if it's Christmas just yet, but it's Toy Field. You can get in the holiday spirit. You can bring some unwrapped toys or gifts for a senior in need to Nissan Stadium. We're on the East Concourse side, gate number 1. You'll see everybody out here. You'll see the field of toys that we are trying to build, but we need your help to do it. So if you have the time and the resources, we would greatly appreciate your help in our efforts to try and benefit the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. It's a great cause that you should get involved with if you have the opportunity to do so. We're going to do winners and losers of the football weekend here. There was a lot to consume. So go ahead and open up the circus tent, Lucas. All right. There was a lot of different results. A lot of you bet against Nick Saban. You're all losers as far as I'm concerned. Perhaps we'll get to that momentarily. Where's the trapdoor? There it went. There went Lucas Panzeca's money and all the money he bet against Nick Saban in the SEC championship game. Winners and losers of the football weekend. Let's start with the winners first, shall we? They actually won a game. The Detroit Lions actually won a game. Now, it was celebrated as if they had just won the Super Bowl. So there goes Mike Zimmer's job. There goes the Minnesota Vikings down the trapdoor and into mediocrity because they could not find a way to come back and beat Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. Now, it was a wholesome moment. I don't know if you saw the video of Jared Goff's girlfriend, who's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. She was on a shoot. She found out that her boyfriend won a game for the first time this season. She was overjoyed. Winner of the football weekend, the Detroit Lions, despite, you know, the celebration of literally one win, 10 losses. Oh, we have the locker room. Crank it up. It's so stupid.
Bro, to say that I'm proud of you would be a major understatement. Gentlemen, that's the way to just fight one more time. And it pays dividends. You know what we did? We found a way to win the day when we had to do it. We found a way. And, man, we'll talk about the game, but all that later. But let me tell you something, man. Defense, we put you in some hard spots. We put you in some hard spots, and you responded. You responded.
Oh, Lucas is tired of the Dan Campbell victory speech.
That goes on for a couple minutes. We get the picture.
Fading him into the background. Listen, Dan, what you can't see in that video is Dan Campbell's doing that entire victory speech with a kneecap in his mouth because he finally got one. He finally got a piece of a kneecap that he's been waiting 6 months to bite off. Now, my losers of the football weekend will still be the Detroit Lions because they're still 1-10-1 on the season, and everybody is celebrating them like the conquering heroes that they are. Dan Campbell can both win and lose the football weekend because it's ridiculous how big a deal we made out of that. Go ahead, Luke.
Now, is that the most hilarious record in NFL history, 1-10-1, or would it be 1-11-1 when they lose this weekend?
Who do they play this weekend?
Oh, give me a second.
You're just projecting them for a loss. You have no idea the opponent. You're just chalking them. What if the Lions go on a heater?
It's the Broncos.
Oh, it's entirely possible that Teddy Two Gloves is going to, you know, 12 for 18, 185 yards them to death or something of that nature because Teddy Bridgewater exists to be mediocre in the NFL. Winners and losers of the football weekend, both the Detroit Lions, despite them getting their first win in the column this year.
Loser of the football weekend, as you said, is me and our buddy Josh Pate and the entire College Game Day crew other than Lee Corso and about 90% of America that picked the Georgia Bulldogs to not only win, but to cover a 6.5-point spread against Alabama. Some got it at 6. I got it at 6. Didn't matter. Alabama felt like they cruised in that game. It felt like you were watching an Alabama-Georgia game from like 2015. There's some figures in sports that make you feel a little extra dumb for losing when you bet against them. Nick Saban's one of those people. Tom Brady's one of those people. For anybody that bet on the Chiefs in the most recent Super Bowl, I was one of those people last night for picking the Bills' money line against the greatest coach of all time in the middle of a blizzard. I am the loser of the football weekend.
Yeah, you can go ahead and hold that L. And any of you who bet Georgia, are you kidding me? Not even to doubt Nick Saban, to bet Georgia -6 is so stupid to me. This is why I can't understand it. I don't ever, ever bet against Tom Brady. I don't ever, ever bet against Nick Saban. It is one of the dumbest things that you could possibly do in the world of sports because it's not like this is a new concept. It's been happening for 20 damn years, and they keep winning everything. So why are you going to bet against them? It's on you. Hold that L.
I agree, and it's not big money. I'm not a high roller. It's just a little bit here and there for fun, but I'm still the loser of the weekend.
It's still shameful.
My winner of the weekend is AD, Adrian Peterson, after his short stint with the Titans, picked up by the Seattle Seahawks, according to his head coach, Pete Carroll, to, quote, win now, which is an objectively hilarious thing to say about a 3-8 football team. But Adrian Peterson helps the Seahawks to a win over the weekend as he scores and ties Jim Brown's all-time rushing touchdown record. So congratulations to Adrian Peterson for keeping his career alive this season.
Hey, you know what I want to do? Can I redo my loser of the football weekend?
Why not?
Can I give it to Ian Rappaport, who after the Seahawks signed Adrian Peterson to their practice squad, said this was a signal that the Seahawks were in win now mode?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because that's what Pete Carroll said.
Okay, they both deserve public shame because they're like 4-8.
They're 4-8 now. That's what I'm saying. That is an objectively hilarious thing to say after picking up a free agency acquisition, or not free agency, but picking someone up off the waiver wire when you're 3-8. Now 4-8.
They had to wheel him out of the retirement community in Nashville and take him to Seattle. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard a sports media pundit say. Win now move in Rappaport. Are you kidding me? They were 3-8 at the time.
I suppose they do need to win now, and they need to win out.
They need to win. They literally need to win out. They're going to do it with a 36-year-old running back, WD-40. It's insane. Winners and losers of the football weekend. That's what we are wrapping up here live from Toy Field. When we come back, we're going to dive into the news yesterday that came out of yesterday, which is that Julio Jones, among other players, have been cleared to return to the practice field this week for the Tennessee Titans. Julio, of course, is the biggest name. Racy McMath and Dane Cruikshank among those who will be eligible to return to practice but remain on IR. I'm going to tell you why this is significant news, even if Julio Jones is not available just yet. We'll talk about it on the other side. We'll take your phone calls as well, 615-737-1045. Does simply seeing Julio Jones' name on the transaction list in a positive way make you feel better about the Titans' propositions moving forward? We'll take your phone calls and we'll discuss on the other side, live from Toy Field, where we will be until 6 p.m. today. So stop by. You can curbside drop off. You can bring it and set it on the Toy Field itself, your unwrapped toy or gifts for seniors here at Nissan Stadium. We greatly appreciate all of your help in doing so. I'm Buck Rising. 104.5 The Zone.